right?
Someone did.
But very, you know, I love when we, when he or anybody brings out of the word insight, you know, your spiritual understanding. It's great. We have Kim Hicks here from the past. We dig way back into the past, right? And there's Kim.
Wow.
Really, the Ark of Noah. Way back. And then we have a new couple too, right? I mean, that I haven't met before. Good to have you, sir. And Russell and Beth, okay.
Good.
And we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. So last night, how many of you remember the message about how Jesus disappeared in the sky? And where did he go?
Heaven.
Heaven. Where? What happened up there? What? He's preparing. He has presented us to God. We have been presented to God. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Like presenting us to God. He represents us and he presents us. Hebrews 9:25. Right? So do we need to turn there to convince you of that? I think so. There's unbelief. Turn to Hebrews. Is it chapter 9? Verse. Where are we? 24. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. What's the holy place made with hands?
Temple.
The temple. There was Solomon's temple that was destroyed. You had Haggai's temple. Then you had Herod's temple. These are temples made with hands. Where has Jesus gone? Not into the temple made with hands, but into heaven itself. Verse 24. But into heaven itself. I wonder what that must be like to go into heaven itself, the third heaven, right? What's the first heaven? What? Atmosphere, the air we breathe, the atmosphere around the earth, where the birds fly, the first heaven. The second heaven is the universe, the cosmos, the material universe. And what's the third heaven? Why do we say third heaven? Where's that in the Bible? In 2 Corinthians, have you ever greeted somebody, you forgot their name?
Yeah.
You kind of muffle it, you know? Hey, hi, Bill Johnson. Okay, so what's the third heaven? Where is that in the Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Paul went to the third heaven, and he saw things there that are not lawful to be uttered. And he kept this secret how long? He had not told anybody about it, and he wrote it to the Corinthians, 14 years. Ask your neighbor, how long can you keep a secret? Okay, ask your wife, how long can you keep a secret? How about it? I've got to make a confession today.
I cannot.
I buy a Christmas present for my wife, I got to tell her about it right away. Yeah. I bought you a present. What is it? Oh, I want to show it to you. Well, it's Thanksgiving. I know it's for Christmas. Let's have an early Christmas. Okay. All right, so Paul had something going on in his heart and his spirit, and I believe that you have that also. What is it? It's a spiritual knowledge. It's an understanding that God promised you and I. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. It's written there. That we grow in grace and knowledge. We are learning. Remember yesterday we said the election in the United States of America is kind of all messed up. And how are you doing during this time? COVID is happening. How are you doing this during this time? You have your family, your house, your job, different things that are happening in life. And we're talking about getting rooted and grounded in our faith. And speaking about things, Christy mentioned it yesterday, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Listen very carefully. Don't let your mind wander, okay? While I look not at the things that are seen, but I look at the things that are not seen. Why? Why do I look at what is not seen? Because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Jeff Brunty knows that verse because he sings a song about it. Do you? Probably. In his sleep. Probably. Okay, so our life is to have a mystery involved in it, and that's what I want to speak about today. Our life is to have a mystery. Our fellowship is to be a fellowship in a mystery. Our fellowship is to be more than our checkbook, more than the gas in our tank, more than a phone call with another person, more than politics and food. It has to be more than my circumstances, more than my kids and my grandkids. It's got to be more than my beach and my boat. It's got to be more than what people talk about in a natural level. What does it need to be?
Eternal.
A mystery, yeah. Eternal. A mystery. All right? So that's our message. You guys are great listeners.
Wow.
Wow, what happened compared to last year? Yeah, I'm joking. Okay, so here, I wasn't here last year. Okay, so we're going to look at that text of scripture. Also, I want to give a shout out to Joe Falgo's mom.
Woo!
Yeah, she's a hero of the weekend.
Amen.
She is. She's amazing. What's your name?
Marlene.
Marlene? Yeah, very sweet. Wow.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so we're going to have two parts to the message. The first is you're going to read the scriptures and you're kind of going to get used to them a little bit. Because I'm going to show you something. I don't think you've seen it. And then we'll talk. You're going to talk with your neighbor a little bit, understand the scripture, and then we'll preach the message on it, okay?
Yeah.
So if we're going to turn to 1 Timothy 3 in verse 15 and 16. Then chapter 4 in verse 1. Okay. Let's start with chapter 4, first Timothy. David Oliver is here too. Pastor David Oliver.
Yeah.
There. Good to see you. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Could we read it out loud? Ready? One, two, three. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. What's that mean?
Definitely.
Spirit speaks how?
Precisely.
Wow. Loaded. What? How does the Spirit speak?
Clear.
Clearly. Has the Spirit ever spoken to you clearly and precisely? Has he? Is that, that's an amazing thing if that's happened in your life. Can he speak clearly to you about maybe something that's going to happen in the future?
Yes.
That's what this is saying. Paul is saying, the Spirit has shown me about the future. Okay? The Spirit could also show you something about a relationship, He could show you something about a doctrine. He could show you something about a prophet, what a prophet said in the Old Testament. The Spirit can say many things. The Spirit could show you the body of Christ and be very strongly persuaded by what God wants to say to you. Can it be very strong? That's what it means. It can be very strong. Okay. Do you have any experiences that you could share with somebody where you could say the Spirit spoke very clearly? Now, this is apostolic teaching. This is what he's saying. This is the Apostle Paul saying that God showed me something very clearly. That I'm not an apostle, you're not an apostle, we're not saying that. But I am asking the question, could the Spirit show you something very clear that God wants you to know? Yeah, and that's really the Bible. The Spirit wants to show me the Bible, and what does it mean? What is it saying? Spirit wants to show me that Christ is in heaven on my behalf. The Spirit wants me to be built up in my new man. He wants to show me who I am, my new person. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's true for many of you, maybe all of you, that you had some of this. Question. Are there believers when the Spirit has not said much to them? It's a question. Are there believers where the Spirit has not said much to them? Why? Why would he speak very expressly to that person, but not very much to that person? Why? Joe? All right, heart is hardened. I don't want to hear from God, maybe. What else, Pastor Wheatley? Okay, I'm not obedient. Maybe God, why would God be talking like to me? Of course, he can do it out of grace, but if it's a habit, I'm not caring what God is saying. I'm not listening to what God is saying. I'm not showing up to hear what God is saying. I had somebody at our church in Baltimore, and they met me at the door. I was shaking hands, and they said, "Wow, that was amazing. You know, my friend at work told me to come to this church because he said, if you want to go to a church where you're going to really hear something, go to that Greater Grace Church. But I'm not going. I'm not going there. That'd be the last place in the world I want to go to. I'm not going. But if you want to really hear something, you know, then go to that church." So the guy told me at the door. Okay, another one? Anybody? Yes.
Maybe they're so focused on the problem that they don't realize God already gave them the solution.
Okay. They're not hearing clearly because their focus.
Like if you think you're drowning, but you're already at the shore.
You think you're what?
Drowning.
You think
you're drowning, but you're already at the shore.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They might be not hearing because they're so occupied with the drowning, and they don't know grace, or they don't know how much God loves them and what God wants to say to them. Yeah. Yes, Millie?
When you hardened your heart, you block the Spirit from talking.
Okay, when you harden your heart, you block the spiritual connection with God. Yeah. I just want to say, I don't want to say too much more about it, but only to say that there is such a thing when the Spirit speaks very clearly and he wants to say something to us. And that's what we build our life on. Now, instead of that happening, look at what this says here in the next part, verse chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times... And in the Greek it says, in the time of Trump and Biden.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm joking. Bad joke. Okay, but in the latter times, when? In the latter times, what will happen? Some shall depart from the faith, and here it is, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, in the last couple of days, I've been trying to understand what that means, like seducing spirits. They give heed to seducing spirits. Right? Like, what is that? And I haven't really gotten very far in my meditation on it. Hey, what is that? How do you get drawn into or seduced by a spirit? Wait a minute. I thought the spirit speaks expressly. The spirit of God makes himself clear. But now we see the devil is speaking expressly.
Wow.
Or he is seducing the Christian in the latter times. Wait a minute, I thought that God would speak to me clearly. But I read now that in the latter times that God is saying clearly that some will be seduced by other spirits. Not the Spirit of God, but other spirits. Huh?
Yeah.
What kind of spirit? The natural man.
Wow. Yeah.
Natural life. Life without God. You don't need God. God, yeah, you believe in God, that's fine. But you got to live your life. I mean, this is serious. You know, the Biden-Trump election, many things that are happening in the Christian world, the world that we are living in, that can get our attention and draw us. I'm not saying the election's not important, but I am saying there's something that is deeper and more important, and that is a spiritual life. But now here comes the previous text. So I think you understand this part, right? But now comes the verse before this, is chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. But if I tarry long, that you may know how that you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar,
yes,
ground of the truth. What is the church? It's the church of the living God. What is it? The pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the devil is against. Why is he against the church of the living God? Because he knows how powerful it is. He knows what happens when people start talking faith. He knows what happens when the Spirit speaks clearly. He knows what happens when the mystery of godliness is happening. And that's what's happening with us this weekend. It's called the mystery of godliness. Look at verse 16. Without controversy, meaning it's beyond like a debate or a discussion. It's there is discussion, but there's not a question where it's landing.
Wow. Yeah.
Great is the mystery of godliness. You know what? I think the devil is afraid of the mystery of godliness. I do. I think he's afraid of you preaching the truth and Pastor Keith and Pastor Jeff, Pastor Chuck, and all of us, Pastor Jack, all of us. He doesn't want this mystery of godliness to happen. And he said, and Paul said, that mystery of godliness is so great that I'm telling you that in the latter times, the devil will send seducing spirits to draw people away from the important thing, to draw them away from the reality of the risen Christ, where we say he is risen and he is seated and he's given us life and wisdom and freedom and joy and power and peace. But I got to tell you, the devil is afraid of the mystery of godliness. He doesn't want it to be manifested in our flesh. He doesn't want us to live with a human body and bills to pay and troubles and stuff. He doesn't want us to manifest the reality of God. That's really, look at it now, verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And he mentions six things about it. Can you count them? Can you read those six things? Verse 16. Yes. Read the verse once or twice to yourself. Maybe I could ask Pastor McFarland. Pastor McFarland, in your words, what does it mean? Great is the mystery of godliness. Or what the words, without controversy.
Well, I think you already explained it very
well. Okay.
Beyond dispute.
Beyond what?
Beyond dispute or beyond challenge.
Okay, beyond challenge.
It's something everybody has to acknowledge. So great. I would say that means that it's so tremendous that you can only know it by revelation.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, so tremendous that, and also when you see it, you just say, wow. I used to live in Hungary. We moved to Hungary in 1990 as a family after the communism ended. And I met sometimes interesting people. I met Jews that had escaped the Holocaust. Very interesting stories. I met Christians that had come back from Siberia, from the Soviet time. They were taken away after the war. And they lived in Siberia, but now they could finally come back home. And I met people that had gone through horrible things, and they were believers. And I have my Jewish landlady, she was one of them, and she was 19 years old. And instead of everybody in the factory she was working, all the Jews were taken by train to Poland, and they were killed. But for some reason, an ambulance came to the factory. The ambulance driver walked in the factory, told her, get in the ambulance. And she got out, went in the ambulance. She doesn't know why that happened to her. And he told her, he drove her away, and he told her, and he did it to others. He told her that never go back to that factory. And it saved her life. Many different stories, but I just want to say, and it was that led her to Christ. And there was a revival in 1946 in Hungary with many people came to Christ. It was amazing. It's really, really happened. When you meet somebody that has been through something and you find that Christ did this, that Christ did this, Christ speaks to them, Christ shows them peace. Christ is in their heart. It's like us now in America. When you have Christ in your heart, you have peace in your heart regarding what is going on. It's a mystery of godliness. And the devil doesn't like that mystery to be revealed. So he wants seducing spirits to draw people away from the faith. Draw them away from their Bible. Draw them away from the body. Draw them away from evangelizing. Draw them away from love. Draw them away from forgiveness, because great is the mystery of godliness. So look at the verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. Let's say, let's be the devil. And let's say, we read one part, we got six of them. And let's say the devil. The devil says, no, don't do that. Now listen, God was manifest in the flesh, and the devil will say what?
No way.
I gotta do that again.
No!
No! No! Anything but that. Not God manifest in the flesh. No! We can talk about God. We can believe in God, but don't have God manifest in the flesh. No! That can't happen. But look in this room. Is it happening? Is it happening? The devil goes, no! Don't do that. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. So what does he do? He sends seducing spirits. And he draws Christians away from the body, away from the finished work, away from our Bible, away from faith, away from forgiveness. Let's all be arrogant. Let's all have our own life. Let's all be selfish. Let's all forsake the church. Let's all forsake the Bible. Let's all be arrogant. Let's all be on our own. Let's be strong and beautiful and powerful and smart. Anything but God manifest in the flesh. No! Not that. Huh? The second one. And I need your help on this. Because you're fading. Justified in the Spirit. I don't really know what that means. I got to ask Pastor Professor McFarlane over there. What is that, Pastor? Justified in the Spirit.
I'm looking at the Amplified. It says justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, justified, vindicated in the Holy Spirit. How about visited by the Holy Spirit? Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, and what happens? The Spirit comes down on him like a dove. The Spirit is saying, this is my man. This is my man. I am for him. The Holy Spirit is resting on him. And what does the devil say?
No.
No. No. Anything but that. No. Not the Spirit resting on those people. Not the Spirit speaking to those people. Not the Spirit leading those people into parts of the world with the gospel. No, not the peace of God in their hearts, in their bedroom, in their house, in their family life. No, not the Spirit of God in the church. Anything but not the Spirit of God in the church. How about that? Third one. Scene of angels. What's the devil say?
No.
No, not scene of angels. No, I don't want the angels to come and go upon those people. The angels came and went on Jesus in John chapter 1. I don't want it says the angels encamp round about those that fear God. Psalm 34 verse 7. I don't want the angels involved. No, but what do I want involved? I want the video games involved. I want the social media involved. I want money involved. I want celebrityism in the church. I want celebrities in the church, but not angels. I don't want angels in the church. I've got to send seducing spirits and doctrines of devils to destroy this mystery of godliness. Huh? You guys are precious. You're looking at me like, oh no, what? Did I do something wrong? Okay,
praise God.
Oh, you're right there. Okay, I'm almost done. Here we go. You're getting warmed up. You're helping me. It goes, preached unto the Gentiles. What does the devil say?
No!
No! God forbid anything but that. Don't preach to the Gentiles. Don't go into the highways and byways. Don't preach to the Gentiles. Maybe God will save souls. Maybe God will send angels. Maybe the Holy Spirit will freshly anoint those people in the mountains in Nepal. Mexico, the deserts of Mexico, the sand fields of Saudi Arabia. No, do not preach the gospel to the Gentiles.
Anything but that.
Because it's
a mystery.
Isn't it?
Yep.
What does the devil say?
No.
No. No. It can't happen. No. Do anything to stop that. Anything. Break it down. No, we can't have the mystery of godliness. All this happened to Jesus. You know that.
Yeah.
All this is about Jesus. But the mystery of godliness in Jesus, we saw that. And without controversy means it's without any debate about it. It's beyond acceptation. It's beyond, you know, there's no discussion about this thing. It can't be contested. It is a great reality that we overlook. It is a great reality. We underestimate the value of it. Many of us are coming from the countryside up in Maine where we met this preacher and the body of Christ, and we found ourselves at home in the body because that was a great mystery that we didn't even know where we were. I believe you could lose your salvation because I had a Catholic background and a Pentecostal background when I got saved. And I thought I could lose my soul. It took me a year and a half to get that kind of straightened out in my mind. I'm meaning to say it isn't always obvious and it isn't always fast. But it grows.
Amen.
And you say, you know, I don't know about this or about that, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I see.
Praise God.
You know, the devil's seducing me over here to this world of reasoning to discredit the church. And I don't know about all that stuff over there, what he's talking about, what they're saying, anything. But I know that in that place is where I found joy, where I found faith, where I found an open Bible, where I found people that have love, and I found Jesus Christ in that fellowship. And this is very clear, Paul is saying. The Spirit is making it clear to me that in the latter time, the devil will throw this great attack against the mystery of godliness to discredit it, tear it down, and say it's not true, it's not real. We have what, one, two more. Believed on in the world. What does the devil say?
No.
No. Believed on the world. No, it's not true. No. No. It isn't true. No, it can't happen. No, but we have a church in Miami. No, that's believed on. They don't believe. They do not believe. They do not believe. Yeah, they do believe.
Amen.
They do. It is a mystery of godliness. Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Believed on in the word. The last one is received up into glory. Wow. Jesus ascended into glory.
No,
what does the devil say?
No.
Say that. No, that cannot be. In the end, that's what we're talking about.
Hallelujah.
For some reason, it's in our hearts that we know it's true.
Yes.
And it drives him nuts. It drives him nuts. He cannot handle it. He can handle everything. In this is his world. This is his world of lies. Have you noticed it?
Yeah.
It's just a world of deception. This is what he likes to do. He loves to destroy people, steal from people, take away from people. But our good shepherd is a shepherd that wants to give to people abundant life. Come and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke. It is easy. My burden, it is light. Come, follow me. Come and see. Come and be with me. I love you. I am God. And through God we shall do great things. This is our calling. We are precious. You know, Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 20, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what we talk about. That's what we believe. This is how we are living. And we are surprised ourselves.
Praise God.
I told this story. I got to come up with some new stories, but I got to tell this one again. I don't know when it was, 10 years ago, my neighbor came over to me. And he said, how do you do it? I go, what do you mean? He goes, the garbage cans on the side of your house, you know, you take them out to the street. Like, how do you do it? I still didn't know what he's talking about. And we had a little, you know, we had a cordial rapport with each other, my neighbor and everything. He goes, I don't understand. How do you do it? He goes, you just are like up, you know, you just are up, you know, like you can take the garbage cans to me, like, thank you, the garbage. Everybody takes garbage cans. No, this is something different. I said, why do you have that attitude? What do you have? You know, what do you have? So we sat down, we had a talk. About a year later, a friend of ours in the church, he led the guy to the Lord. He prayed with him to accept Christ. It was good. But he said, I can't do that without Prozac. I can't do that without medication. You know? Why did I share that story? Just, I think it is true. You have more than you realize. Your life is speaking about a mystery. Why do you carry a Bible? Why do you go to the church? Why do you travel across the state of Florida to come to a conference like this? Because great is the mystery of godliness. And when we have tasted it, when we get rooted and grounded in our heart, in our faith, when we live in that thing, we just say, you know, this is great. It is so great the devil is afraid of it. He has to destroy it. He has to contest it. He has to tear it down. He has to lie about it.
Yeah.
But we are not those people that talk like the devil. We are there saying, oh no. Oh no, devil, we got you. You cannot overcome this. This is greater than you. You are great. You are a God, the God of this world, and you are powerful, but we are more powerful. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and that's about the devil. We are greater than his lies. We have greater love in our hearts than what he has. We have more. We have better people. We have the mystery of Christ. We have the salvation of God, the reality of Christ in our hearts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, same. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
let's say one last thing about mocking the devil. Like he says, no, don't let that happen. No, that happened. We say, it is happening. Back off. We're coming at you. Resist the devil, and what does he do? He flees. And you know where's a good story about mocking? Is Joseph and the woman that was seducing him in Egypt. You know the story? You do know Potiphar's wife? Tell me the story, Pastor Jeff, just for a second.
Well, it's a long story.
Okay.
Potiphar's wife, she has some desires for this young man.
Yes.
And Joseph, his life is so amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got an amazing life. She accused him because he would not adhere to her plans.
Yes.
So he ran away. So she accused him of going along with the plan and actually raping her in a sense.
Yes. So
he ended up in prison. But it's all God's plan.
Do you remember what she said to the people in the house and her husband? You know what she said?
This Hebrew is
mocking me.
Yes.
Yeah. Mocking me. This Jew is mocking me. Now listen. When you are seduced and you don't go for the bait, you know what you're saying? You don't have enough. You don't have enough. You could say that to the woman, you know, you want me, but I'm saying, no, you don't have enough for me. I'm not interested. Hit the road. I'm done. And what does she say? You are mocking me. And what do we say? You're right. You're right. You don't have enough. You don't have enough to take me out. You don't have a better deal. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough beauty. You don't have enough seductive power. I'm not buying it. Thank you. Hit the road. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm walking away. Amen. What? I gave you everything. I got everything for you. What? Yes, read my lips. It's not going to happen. I'm not into it. I'm not taking the bait. Hit the road. And I am mocking you. You are a loser. And that's the way, you know, that's why the devil says, no, you can't do that. And we say, we're doing it.
Yes.
Hit the road, Jack. And that's a song from Jeff Prunty. God bless you.
Can't hit down.
Hit, yeah, hit. Stop first.